are going to cover the next 18 verses. Thankfully, the next 18 verses all have the same theme, the same point and message, essentially applied in three different ways. And the question it is trying to answer is, should we get recognition for the good stuff that we do? It is difficult, I think, for everybody to do something good for someone or something else and do it in an anonymous way. I know that anonymous giving is probably one of the most difficult things to do, whether that's monetarily, whether that's doing something good for someone else. Doing it anonymously is a challenge. And the reason why is because we all want to be thanked. We all want to be liked. We all want to be honored for the gifts and the things that we do. Pastors are not immune to this. I remember vividly last year, it had to do with the DCE Mexico trip. I was talking with the president of Concordia University in Irvine, President Kirk Krieger, and we were talking about the ministry that Searchlight is about and what we do, and he's asking about it, and I was compelled by my own ego and my own desire to be recognized for the work that I did, that I told him, President Krieger, are you aware that Searchlight Ministries, along with our family, sends DCE students to Mexico and essentially funds most of the trip because we believe in the DCE program at Concordia so much? And he looked at me and he goes, I had no idea. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I went, oh, it's nothing. I don't even know. You don't even have to mention that. I'm thinking to myself, hypocrite, what is wrong? Why was I compelled to let the president of the college know that our little ministry does this? I know that other people try to use that even for leverage, getting other ministries, and I love it when I hear it. I hear people say, oh my gosh, I just talked to our congregation to see if they can help out with this DCE Mexico experience because my goodness, Searchlight Ministry, such a small little congregation, and if you guys are doing so much, then all these other larger churches should actually be doing more. And I'm like, oh, gosh, thank you. No, it's fine. Oh, you're so wonderful. Why do we have this desire to be recognized? If you were going to donate $1 million to some organization, will not the first thing they offer to you is to put your name on the building. Am I right? I think to myself, if I had $1 million, which I don't and won't ever have, but I thought to myself, yeah, you know, that would be kind of nice. That if I donated this money, let's say to Concordia University or to the City of Orange to build a gymnasium for underprivileged youth or whatever the special cause is, wouldn't it be great to then have my name on it? The Manning Family Gymnasium. Recognition for the gift that I give. Do we do this also with our spouses or our boyfriends and girlfriends? We do something special for them. Maybe they don't even know it, but we are compelled to tell them about it. There'd be many a times Heather would come home from work. It's Monday, my day off. And it's always interesting because she would walk in and start looking around because really what she's looking for is, what did you do all day? Because I tend towards laziness and sluggishness. Sometimes I don't do anything. But I'm usually quick to point out, right when she walks in, hey, I did the dishes. I cleaned up the shed. I did this. Why am I telling her all these things that I'm doing that is good? Because I want recognition for what I do. Imagine that you are the biggest donor at Searchlight Ministries. By the way, I have no idea who that person is, so it doesn't matter. It could be you. Imagine you're the biggest donor to Searchlight Ministries, and you have some opinions about the chairs we are about to purchase. And you think to yourself, I don't really like those chairs. And you know what? I am the biggest donor at Searchlight Ministries, and so I should have some sort of say or influence over what's actually purchased. Is that temptation always in front of us? Yes, if you're the biggest donor and you want to buy the chairs, I guess I won't say anything to you. You got what you want. But it's fascinating. And maybe you are. I have no idea if you are. I'm not getting new chairs. That's fine, because you do look very uncomfortable, by the way. Are you sure you don't want to sit in the... Jacob is... Dang. Vicious. It's very comfortable. These next three sections are going to be talking about three things: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. And Jesus is going to ask the same question, all three of those. Why do you seek recognition? And when you seek recognition, is that a good thing? Isn't it nice when people know how spiritual you are? Have you ever done that? You've been out and people are talking about what they do and you're like, oh, yeah, I just went to church this past Sunday. And oh, you know, I've been reading in my Bible. And you start going on. We often make ourselves sound better than we actually are in order to improve our standing amongst other people. Have you ever filled out a job resume and, I don't know, maybe made yourself sound better than you actually are, all for the purpose of getting a job? These are some of the things that Jesus is addressing. Matthew 6. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That's pretty darn simple, isn't it? Do you do your acts of righteousness so that everyone else sees what you're doing and goes, oh my goodness, that is a spiritual person? It is one of the difficulties that every pastor has to face every time we come up with sermon illustrations, which is why I just like to use my family, because then I'm not bragging about myself. But let me tell you, I'm pretty righteous. And it's so easy to say, you guys should read your Bible every day, like I do. And when you do, you will be righteous like me. We were taught quickly in seminary that you should probably never use yourself as a good example, lest you become bloated in the head and lest you become elevated on a pedestal from your congregation. I try to, most of the time, give you the bad examples, and trust me, I am very good at being a bad example. But that temptation is always there. We want everyone to know this is what we do that is good and righteous. And Jesus is saying, if you are doing your acts of righteousness in order to impress the people around you, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Question: which is the better reward? Being rewarded by having your ego stroked on earth, or this vague, unspecified reward from your Father in heaven? It's tough, because I think one of the reasons why we want the reward here and now, first of all, we're people that love instant gratification. We want everything to happen now, and when we do something good, if we get immediate recognition from it, we feel good about ourselves. Are we patient enough to actually say maybe there's a better reward coming, a reward coming from God himself? So he goes on in explaining this. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you are going to give, do you give in such a way that seeks the recognition? And I tell you, it's hard. I have been to fundraisers. Have you been to fundraisers where they do maybe some auction stuff and you raise your hand to auction? It's really great because when you raise your hand to bid on this item that has been donated and all the money goes to whatever the auction is, everyone will now see just how much money you are willing to pony up to give something good. How quickly we look at things when we donate to other entities. Do they have different variations of giving tiers? Well, if you give $10,000 to our arts program, you will become a presidential designee, and you will get X, Y, and Z, but most importantly, you will get your name in whatever programs of the arts that we do. And they break it down from, you know, 10,000 down to five and then one. And there's been times I'm like, dang, I could give 25. At least I'll get my name in the bulletin. Well, is that what I should be doing? Not according to Jesus. When you give, you don't give to impress anyone else. Ever. Because if we do, the only reward we will receive is that immediate reward we give right now. God, he goes, well, you've got your reward, so I guess that's what you wanted. You were seeking to be honored by people. That's what you'll get. Same thing with doing volunteer work. Maybe you're volunteering to cook hams and turkeys for the homeless, and we call out for names. I'm just giving this as an example. None of you have done this, but we're calling out names going, well, can anyone help? And one of you just goes, oh, I'll make that sacrifice for the homeless ministry because I love the homeless. Would it not be better to go to Helen privately and say, I'll be happy to do it? And when she says, thank you so much, look at her and say, don't steal my reward. Don't thank me for this at all. I have, I think I told you this example a while ago. I had a really hard time. I was one time challenged by a pastor that I should be sending thank you notes to everyone who donates to Searchlight Ministries. Did I tell you that story? Oh, I didn't tell you that story. Oh my gosh, so this happened about 6 months ago. We were talking about giving, and this pastor gives thank you notes to, if you donate, like if you, it is your first, let's say it's your first time coming to church and you donate, you will get a handwritten letter saying thank you for the thing. And I was like, huh. Well, I mean, it is our job to thank people, right? So maybe that's correct. But then I start thinking to myself, holy cow, there's still a lot of people. And then do you all get thanks? What happens if some of you just drop a $5 bill in the offering box? Do I thank you? I mean, that's definitely not as much as Jody gives, who's obviously the biggest giver here at Searchlight. I start thinking to myself, is that real? Question, this might hurt a little bit. Do you give to Searchlight in order to be rewarded and thanked? My encouragement to you is anytime you give, give in such a way that you don't receive honor from it. Now, every year we do, for tax purposes, because the IRS requires it, we have to create a list of your donations to send to you for your tax purposes so you can take them off your taxes. Some people have asked me, is this in violation of Matthew chapter 6? And the answer is no, because you have every right to have a record of what it is. If I gave little thank you notes or, you know, wrote, you know, God's blessings to you for giving so much to church now, or maybe you're looking for a recognition from someone like, I do so much. But it's hard, isn't it? Yeah. I think what he is thinking, and I honestly think it's of noble value, that when I give something, to receive a thank you is a good thing. But the question becomes then, is that thank you now in substitution? Have I gotten my reward, so to speak? Or would it be better to give without any... When you give money, time, energy, good works, good deeds to your spouse, to your children, do you do them in such a way to always expect a thank you in response? I think there's temptation, right? Especially when I do things for my rotten children. Like, I just did this for you. I don't know how many times. And you know what? I guess I better stop doing this because now I've lost my reward from Jesus in heaven. But our family goes through milk at a very dizzying pace, about a gallon a day. And that's no joke. I'm not exaggerating last week, sir. Yeah, buy a cow. Gallon a week. And I find myself at the grocery store, I don't know how many times during the week, because I have to buy more milk. To the point where even when I've gone through the cashier without having milk, the cashier looks at me and she goes, where's all your milk? I'm like, no, I got it yesterday. I got 3 gallons, so I'm only down to 2. I can survive for 2 more days. But when I go out of the goodness of my heart, because I've stopped drinking the milk, out of the goodness of my heart and I go out to do this, Joshua has now been trained that when I walk in with the milk, the first thing he does is run up to me and give me a hug. I say, thank you, Daddy, for getting us milk. And I'm like, darn straight, I went and got you milk. Yeah, Joshua is probably the worst offender of the group. Jacob is second. Mark Thomas doesn't touch it, so it's those two. You milk cows, I swear. But when I do that now, I'm thinking to myself, is that what I should be doing? When you do something nice for your kids, do you expect a thank you? Now, it's tough because I think we want to train our children to be polite, and saying thank you for something is a great thing. But when we're doing stuff in order to get recognized for what we are doing, are we doing them out of the way God has intended it? This is a tough one, isn't it? You're going to find this forever when it comes to giving. Because I tell you, I don't know how many times I've been tempted. If I ever got $1 million, I'd love to donate it to a place and have my name on a building. So everyone knows from there on out, I gave that money. And then you read this and you go, that is horribly inappropriate. Instead, just give. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like Mark Manning, for he loves to pray standing in front of the church on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your closet, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like Mark Manning does, for he thinks he will be heard because of his many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. Question, who here thinks that they pray good? Like, if I asked you to pray out loud right now in front of the congregation, who here is now starting to have a little slight panic attack, worried that I'm going to, I really want to see the name. There we go. You're panicked right now. Don't ask. Because what we are worried about is that we are going to mess up a prayer in front of other people, which betrays something. Do you ever worry about messing up a conversation you have with a friend? No, you're just going to talk with a friend, right? Like, oh, I'm really worried. What am I going to say to my friend? And I got to say the right words. And, oh, Heather, I thank you so much for this dinner you have provided for me this evening. Thank you, and may it nourish my body, and may you always receive. No, we don't think like that. We don't talk like that. Do you ever rate people's prayers? You're liars. Liars! I don't know how many times I have prayed and someone comes up to me afterwards and they go, that was such a nice prayer, Pastor. And I'm like, that was a nice prayer? What do you? Because I'll tell you, I think I'm pretty eloquent when it comes to prayers, that I can usually come up with stuff. But is that really why I'm praying? So that my eloquence somehow wows you in the way I'm praying? This is a problem. I did this once before, and I'll share it again because I thought it was fascinating. Do you know that I was taught how to pray in seminary? Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And they said, Pastor, they told us, the students, they said, you're going to be asked at a moment's notice to pray. And here's a formula that you use. Find out whatever context you are in. Find a story in the Bible that corresponds with it. Pray that story, so to speak, and then tie it in with that. So I did. On the very first time, Heather and I, we were at, I forgot which church, it was probably Sykeston, and we're praying afterwards, there's this potluck, and they're like, I wasn't a pastor, seminarian, but can you, Mark Manning, can you pray for, I'm like, sure, and so I said, Dear Lord, just as you fed the Israelite nation with your heavenly food throughout the wanderings in the wilderness, so Lord, you have provided an abundance for us today. So I pray that we would also have gratitude in our hearts. And then we look forward to the time when we too are brought into the promised land of heaven because of your son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Oh, see, yeah. See, that's the thing. You are impressed, aren't you? You're like, dang, that was a good prayer. You just failed Matthew chapter 6. Because you're impressed by someone's eloquence of words. And then also when you do that, so please don't say, that was a great prayer. Because first of all, you're chuffing someone up that they shouldn't. They're not praying in order to impress you, though I think, have you met people that do pray to try to impress other people? Yeah. Yeah. Question. How many words does it take to get God's attention? Yeah. Jesus. Zero. Right? Have you ever met those people when they pray? Oh, man. See, now I'm going to do it too. There's this one pastor that he says Father like 5,000 times during the prayer. Oh, Father, I thank you, Father, that today, Father, you have kept me, Father, from sin, Father. And thinking, I'm sitting there going, why are you saying Father all the time? I'm wondering, are you worried he may not have heard you the first 3,722 times? Please, just say it once. And it's interesting because sometimes, and the worst is when I get around pastors. I am one, and people can attest to this, I normally don't pray when I'm around pastors. You know why? There's too many babbling fools already. And these pastors, because when they pray, what they're trying to do is get the attention of the other pastors and go, man, that was good. I don't know how times I've been around other pastors, and they say things with such eloquence, and the words they use, I'm like, man, that is such a great, I'm going to have to start doing that. And you know what God is doing as he's standing up there? He's thinking, you are pathetic. What is wrong with you? Yeah. Some people, we do this with our youth group. Youth group, we often ask people to pray. And it's always interesting because sometimes they get sheepish and they're, you know, like ending a prayer and they're like, amen. Sorry, I didn't come up with anything to say. Well, I don't care what you say. Are you praying from your heart? Are you just praying what's on your mind? Are you trying to impress people around you, or are you just talking to God? And Jesus is trying to say, when you are praying, do not pray in such a way that draws attention to yourself so that people will go, oh, how righteous you are. If you are doing it for that reason, you have already received your reward. And then, of course, I love this. Verse 8, do not be like them because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Does that ever blow your mind? How many words does it take to get Jesus' attention? How many words does it take to pray a prayer? Zero. God's already heard it. You could sit there in silence, and that's fine. You can pray two words. Help me. Thank you. I praise you. Anything that you say is going to be fine. Don't think that I've got to somehow put on a long time of prayer in order to somehow get God's attention. Question, when you pray during the day, how long should your prayers be? As long as they're needed to be. Sometimes I have people guilt themselves. Have you ever met people who can pray for like 2 hours a day? Have you ever met people that pray for 2 hours in one sitting? Personally, I think they're lying. Oh, you know someone who can sit there and because I know what happens with me. You get me in a room and I'm going to pray for like 5 minutes silently. I can give you about 30 seconds. And then I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat for dinner that night. I have a hard time. Do not guilt yourself when you say, oh, you have a, yes. Yes. So Jacob went over to a Catholic church for an adoration that lasted 3 hours where they prayed and thanked God for these elements. And I guess Jacob went there and he's like, thank you. Now what? As a good Lutheran, he's lost like 3 hours to do. Could you imagine? Now, some people can pray that long, but sometimes we guilt ourselves because we say we need to somehow extend our prayers. When you're giving thanks to God for your meal, how long should that prayer last? Yeah. I have the shortest prayer that I usually pray when I'm asked and I'm amongst friends and they know me and then I'm not just being sarcastic. The shortest Thanksgiving prayer. God's neat. Let's eat. Amen. That works. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, Lord. Yeah. There's lots of ways to do it. Do you need to pray on and on and on and on and on and on and on? No. And I know that's what you do every time. I'll make another confession to you, and I apologize when I do this. I don't know if I'll ever stop, so I don't want to lie to you. There are times that I preached a sermon, I got to the end of the sermon, and I realized I left a part out. It's no problem. I'm just going to put in the prayer. It'll be a piece of cake. I sometimes preach to you in my prayer time. That's ridiculous. That is dumb. And again, sometimes it's really hard. I've often made fun of this type of praying time when pastors or other people use prayers as announcements. Dear Lord, pray for Aunt Becky, who's at St. Joseph's Hospital, room 113, bed 2. Because God is up there going, where was that? Was that St. John? Bed 2. I knew there. I'd lost her, right? And then, of course, we say things like, and Lord, we know she has diabetes. Like, God's like, well, thank you for that. And now I was unclear of exactly her diagnosis, but we use this as announcements. Can we just not pray? And this is tough. Sometimes I get prayer requests. How long should I pray for each prayer request? Is it enough for me to say, Lord, there's many people who have come up to me and asked for prayers, and you know what they need, and I pray that you'd be. But let me tell you, sometimes we turn prayer into something that it's not, and most of the time it's guilt. It's guilt driving us to be better prayers, to be longer prayers. We see people who can pray publicly, and we're like, oh my gosh, that's impressive. I want to be like them. You don't need to be like them. You can just pray, Lord, thank you. Again, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible that I've ever seen was Peter. And maybe it was a short prayer because he was going under the water, but he said 3 words, Lord, save me. What a fantastic prayer. That's all the prayer we made? All right, so then we have our famous Lord's Prayer. Verse 9. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Of course, you've heard the kid thing, right? Where two kids were praying. And yeah, they like, our Father who art in heaven. And the second kid's, wait, what? God's name is Art? And they're like, no, his name is not Art. His name is Howard. Howard? Yes, Howard be thy name. Yeah. I love that joke. And I just used it down at Concordia this just recently, so it's a great joke. Yes?
Sure.
Sure, yeah, and if you don't pray, that means you're a bad Christian. So that's what we often guilt ourselves. Do you not? Who here guilts themselves because they don't pray enough? If I ask the question, can you increase your prayer time? Who here can say, no, I don't think I can? Like, you're a liar. I mean, it's the quickest, it's the best sermon material I ever do is I just say, oh, you guys should all pray more. And you're like, yeah, I guess we should. Just stop guilting yourself about that. Yes. Teach you how to pray right. If someone comes up to you and says, God told me to come to you because you need to learn how to pray right, you can always respond back, well, God didn't give me the memo, so I have no idea what you're saying. Right? Guys do that with girls, right? You know, guys get desperate, like, God told me that we're going to get married. Oh, really? And he didn't include me in the conversation. Thanks a bunch, God. Yeah, that's a lie. That's just, this is way of people trying to force guilt and leverage it. It's wrong. So, Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It still grinds me every time I see the NIV with hallowed. Do you know that this word is never translated hallowed in all the rest of the NIV? It's a holdover from the King James Version. Yeah. Holy. Holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Where's the rest of the prayer? It's made up. Have you ever been in a Catholic church? Oh, Heather and I went to a wedding one time, and it was fantastic. And because we were family, we had to sit in the third row, and right behind us were all the good Catholics that like to attend weddings and stuff. And it was fantastic because it helped us out. Whenever we'd hear Russell, 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 we'd look back there standing like, oh, stand up, okay, cool. Russell, 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 like, oh, they're sitting down now, okay. And then we get to the Lord's Prayer, and of course we're praying it, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And all the good Protestants kept going, for thine is the kingdom and the power. Has that ever happened to you? Anyone? Yeah, okay, I'm just checking it. Yeah, it's not original. Jesus probably did not pray that. Drive you nuts a little bit. And also, I love it, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yeah. He didn't say deliver us from evil. You can look it up. It's actually the evil. Deliver us from the evil. Yeah. It's deliver us from Satan. So if we were going to pray this now, we would say something like, our Father, Father, you are in heaven and your name is holy and perfect and wonderful. Lord, I want what is happening in heaven to also happen here on earth. Lord, I need you to sustain me today. Back then, they really did need sustenance and daily provisional in food. And Lord, just as I am so forgiving to other people, I want you to treat me with that same forgiveness. So if there's someone that I have not forgiven and I'm holding on to it, I want you, Lord, to hold on to not forgiving me. So in the same way I treat others, I want you to forgive me. And Lord, don't lead me into temptation, but I know, Lord, you never would. So help me not to be stupid today and tempt myself and deliver me from Satan who is roaring around trying to take my life. That'd be a rough translation. But we often don't do that, right? Because familiarity breeds contempt. We don't, you know, we just pray and we're not actually thinking about what we're praying. Let me tell you, this is one of the most powerful prayers. If we could pray it without becoming robots, I cannot stand hearing people pray this prayer. Isn't that horrible? I am slammed by so many other pastors. I get it. I totally get it. And I know why. But nothing shuts off my brain and grinds my ears more than hearing people, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Doesn't it sound just like that? No, that's not. Is that what God intended? No. The prayer is not ineffective because we pray it. prayers from our heart. And I don't know how to pray the Lord's Prayer from my heart without major difficulty. I'd like to just rewrite the thing, and then maybe we could understand what's actually going on. Because I tell you, do not pray the Lord's Prayer. It is too difficult. Just that whole one provision. Forgive us our sins in the same way that we forgive other people. Who here actually believes that? Who here wants to be forgiven in the way that you forgive other people? I don't think so. Lord, it's the opposite. Dear Lord, forgive me even though I am a horrible person and I am not very forgiving to other people. That's what I want to pray. That's what I should be praying. This is much more of a model like, yeah, if you're really doing good, pray this thing. Yeah, it's tough. Yes, Alex? Yes. Oh, absolutely. If we use this prayer that exposes our inability to forgive, then the prayer has done its intention. But I don't know anyone, including myself, who is thinking that when I'm praying that prayer. Maybe you are much more spiritual than I, and God bless you, because that's fantastic. But when I get to that, I'm usually just, forgive us our sins, trespasses, you know, and then I start thinking, well, trespass, like I'm trespassing. I'm not even knowing what I'm praying. If I actually sat there and figured out what I was praying, this prayer could actually change your life if you prayed it in an appropriate way. I got to keep going. I'm sorry, man. I know it's getting longer. And I love it because he gets, so by the way, the ending, yeah, if you have probably a little note, some late manuscripts, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because let's face it, Jesus, he does not know how to end a prayer properly. Am I right? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from Satan. He didn't even say amen. Out of curiosity, when you say, I mean, do you have to say amen? I this is bad. I'm a sinful human being. There are times, I don't know how many times, I have actually prayed and did not end with amen. Or, of course, there's the magic formula. In Jesus' name, because we know that it's really not a real prayer, because we then take another verse out of context that says, whatever you pray in my name, it will be granted to you. So we're like, ooh, it's magic. Langaria leviosa. In Jesus' name, Jesus is like, oh, well, you said the magic words. I guess I better give you your Lamborghini right now. That's ridiculous. But I don't know. I don't know. There was a time I tried for years to stop saying in Jesus' name. It rolls off my tongue. I'm a sinner. Because it's like magic. But I sometimes do it with pastors where I just stop praying. And they're like, is he done yet? Prayer, there's no formula. I don't care if you can pray good or not good. Praying from your heart, pouring out your heart to him is huge. Of course, then verse 14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Isn't it interesting? Because is that in reference to the verse that just happened right before it? No, Jesus actually had to go back into it. Like, I'm sure he said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And he kept saying the prayer, and people like, Oh, hold on a second, Jesus. What does that mean? And he had to back up and say, yeah, this is literally what it means. If you are not forgiving other people, you won't be forgiven. And if you don't believe that, Jesus even tells a whole parable on that. We'll get to that later. Fasting, which is something we hardly ever do in this world, but that's okay. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. By the way, hypocrite, what is a translation of hypocrite that we should probably use? You should just cross out the word hypocrite. Hypocrite normally means someone who says one thing and does the other. That's how we define it, but that's not hypocrite, what they do. Does anyone know what hypocrite means? Actor. Oh, I've been fasting for Jesus. I've been seeking his guidance in my life. And I'm so hungry, but I'll do it for Jesus. Please. Is fasting good to do? What is the definition of fast? Josh? Not to eat is the basic definition, but it can also be applied in other ways. Abstaining from something for a specific period of time for the purpose to get you closer to God. Do not, I repeat, do not fast and call it spiritual because you want to lose weight. You think I'm joking. I've actually run into people that this is what they're doing. Like, you know what? We have this big decision coming up. I think I'm going to fast. It'll be good because I really need to shed a couple of pounds. And I'm like, really? That was great. Thank you. Jesus is very excited for your fast that you're going to lose some weight out of the whole thing. Now, that's not the purpose of it. Now, obviously, if it happens, it happens. The purpose of a fast, spiritual. Now, can you fast for dietary reasons? Sure. There's nothing wrong with it. Just don't act super spiritual because you're not. Your motivation is trying to get other people to notice how awesomely religious you are. So when you fast, do not look somber as the actors do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. Tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, take a shower, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Ask yourself the question today, is what I do for the purpose of getting other people's attention to say thank you, or is my purpose simply and utterly to be a giving person? God has asked us all to be giving in some way. This has very little to do with monetary thing. It has everything to do with being generous in spirit. And God has called us to a life of righteousness. Don't be righteous. Don't be self-righteous. Instead, just live your life in honor and praise of God. And you may never, ever, ever receive a thank you note from Searchlight Ministries. I'm not even going to say thank you now because I don't want to steal your reward. Instead, let's pray that God reward us for what we do. Let's pray. And I'm not going to babble on and on and on and on. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us. You have challenged us to look at our motivations. Lord, we are all sinners in the fact that we want other people to recognize what we've done. We want our spouse to see it. We want our kids to see it. We want our neighbors to see it. We are desperate for people to notice us. And for that, Lord, we are sorry. Forgive us. Lead us, Lord, now into the righteousness that does not seek praise from men, but may we do it simply for your glory. And we look forward to the day when we are with you in heaven forever. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When you see all the stuff that Jesus does, so much of what he does is also